Let's get started. We're going to be on the final sections of the 21st chapter of the Westminster Confession of Faith today. This is Trinity Presbyterian Church's study through the Westminster Confession of Faith. Very important chapter we've been looking at for several weeks now. This is our fifth week, I believe, on worship in the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath day as it's called. So we're going to be reading today the seventh and eighth section of this chapter. And we'll be going through the outline here on the board, which is called the Lord's Day, what day, why, what do we do, and what do we not do? So there's four questions we're going to situate there in our outline. Okay, welcome. Let's see the first section we're going to read today is 7. Let's read together. It says this: as it is of the law of nature that in general a due proportion of time be set apart for the worship of God, so in his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment, binding all men in all ages, he hath particularly appointed one day in 7 for the Sabbath, to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in the scripture is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. And then on number 8, final words of the chapter, it says, the Sabbath is to be kept, then kept holy unto the Lord, when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe an holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship, and in the duties of necessity and mercy. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us today. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth, that your indeed face would shine upon us today, that you'd be gracious to us, that you'd guard us, keep us, protect us, help our minds to engage with your truth today, we ask, that you would do the good work of growing us up into the image of Christ, that we would be sanctified in your truth, and that we would be worshipers of you, which you are seeking, to worship you in spirit and truth. We ask today that you would do these things for your glory, for your name's sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's get to it, friends. We are looking at the Sabbath day, or the Lord's Day, as we call it. And the Sabbath day, or the Lord's Day, is the topic. We have been looking at worship the last, 5 weeks, as we go through the Westminster Confession of Faith today, or we have been for the last, I don't know how long, it's been a long time. We're in chapter 21 now, though. It's been forever. So as we look at what is worship, what are we supposed to be doing, we saw that there are 6 elements of worship given in Scripture. We're free to do those things and nothing else, in corporate worship, private worship. And so as we see those things, praying Scripture, reading Scripture, preaching Scripture, hearing Scripture, singing Scripture, seeing Scripture, which would be the baptism and Lord's Supper, the sacraments. We talked about last week that there is no place that is designated for worship in the Old Covenant. That was Jerusalem. That was the tabernacle. That was the temple. That being no more, we worship not on any mountain, not any other place, but in spirit and in truth now. But the next step is there a separate day of the week that we're devote to worship? And yes, that is true. It says the law of nature does set apart one day that God's put together for us for worship. And it says, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment, binding on all men in all ages. Okay, so one day in 7 is to be that. It's to be kept holy to him. What does holy mean? Separate to God, consecrated to him, for him, okay, devoted to him. One day is especially devoted to him, which from the beginning of the world, the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week. Now, we get that from Genesis, when God himself, on Genesis 2, 1 through 4, rested on the seventh day. So, think about it. Say, Julius, say you were Adam. Okay, you're created. Now what? Rest. The next day is rest. Okay, that's it. That's doing the will of God is rest, because God rested. Not that Adam didn't do anything. He didn't need anything to rest. He didn't need to rest. God didn't need to rest. He was sufficient to do all things. But this is the order that we are all to take, is the last day of the week there in the first week was to be for rest. Now, We see that that's abiding, that people are aware of that. I mean, like all over the place in the Old Testament, all over the place. Now, think about this. Exodus 16, to situate you in the Bible here, we've just left Egypt. We've just gotten out of Egypt, and there is a problem. We have now, we've seen Pharaoh and the army crushed at the Red Sea, drowned in the Red Sea. The bodies, the corpses of the greatest army on the earth have floated up and are now deposited on the bank. Moses says, let's sing. And they sing, and they praise the Lord for what he's done. He's delivered them from certain death, and he set them free from slavery. But then God's told him, I'm going to lead you into the wilderness. And we're going to go, and we're going to take the promised land through the wilderness. So they go through the wilderness, and they start to get really thirsty. They finally find a spring, but it's bitter. Bitter water, they can't have anything to drink there because it's bitter. So they grumble, and then the Lord says, hey, Moses, take that stick or that log and throw it in that water. And that water went from being bitter to sweet in an instant. God gave them water to drink. God provides. Now, they move on. God also gives them a oasis. He leads them from this bitter water that's been transformed to an oasis. They stay there for a week. They refresh themselves and their herds, and they move on. Then they're hungry. So God, what does he do? He provides amazing food, okay? Every night, there is quail. There is quail to eat that just shows up, and they eat it. And then they, in the morning, every day they wake up, there's this bread called manna from heaven. Now, God tells Moses there's to be this ordering of how they're going to do this. Every morning, they will gather the manna, and it will disintegrate, ultimately, towards the middle of the day. It'll burn up, I guess, and leave. But you have to get up there out of bed and get it, and go get it, and bring it home for your family, gather it. Well, he says on the sixth day of the week, you're going to gather double. Okay, and you're gonna, and then you're not gonna gather on the seventh day of the week. You're gonna rest from your gathering, right? And only gather enough for your family. If you gather too much, then it's gonna turn to worms and maggots. And it's gonna be gross. So that's what happens. In fact, people go out and gather way too much, and it's just destroyed. It's worthless. They gather what they need, and then on the sixth day, they're to gather double. And some of them do that. Well, the first day this is happening, what happens? Moses comes out of the tent in the morning, sees they're all gathering. He's like, hold on, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And God's angry at this because they haven't trusted the Lord. The one who's just given them miraculous water, the one who's given them quail and bread, they don't trust him enough. And they think, well, we need to go out and get the bread, you know, and we're not going to have enough, or we need to gather up on the Lord's day. So who knows what their thinking was, but they just don't trust the Lord to establish them on this day when they are not supposed to gather. So there's this distrust in God that they have, and that's also there with us too, that we don't think that God's going to actually come through on his promises, that he's actually going to feed us, he's actually going to shine his face upon us, and he's going to give us what we need and what will honor him and bring glory to him. We're not going to have enough. And so that's the heart of the people. It's a mirror on not only their own hearts, but our hearts today, where we think we have to do it all ourselves. We live in a society today that is perpetually tired. You know, it's like, you ask somebody how they're doing, they're like, oh, I got so much to do. Oh, I'm so tired. It's like, as a college minister for 10 years, I heard, how you doing? Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so tired. You know, so that's the thing. We always feel like we got so much to do, but are we actually working according to God's design or not? 6 days we can work, you know, and get our way. I mean, it's like, we don't have to work 6 days, a lot of us, because our jobs don't require us to work 6 days, right? But in the olden days, you had to work 6 days because You gotta milk the cows, you gotta do all the things they gotta do to keep care of these herds. I mean, it's an everyday thing. But the seventh day, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to work the fields on the seventh day because the Lord says, I'm gonna take care of you. And he did. You know, and so that's the situation. So that's what we have here is a seventh day of the week, you're to rest. Now, in the new covenant, after Jesus rose from the dead, it says in the final part of our section there, from the resurrection of Christ, this Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week, which is scripture is called the Lord's Day. It's to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. So the Christian Sabbath, what day is it? Now it is what day? First day of the week, Sunday, right? Sunday. And then why is it that? Well, in the commandments, if you read Exodus chapter 24, verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4, it says that we do this because God worked in creation 6 days and rested on the seventh day. So we image him, we remember this in our Sabbath keeping, remembering the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. It's set apart to God. And in Deuteronomy 5, what's going on in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy means second, and Nami or Namas means law, second law. So I'm giving you the law again because it's a whole new generation that's about to enter the promised land. It's given to them on the plains of Moab. They're about to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. So God's going to tell them all the things they need to know to live and glorify him as free people in the promised land. So he gives them the law, but he changes the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. What's he do? He changes it and says, 6 days you shall work. The seventh day is to be a Sabbath to the Lord, because I am the Lord who brought you out of the house of slavery, out of the house of bondage. So in our Sabbath keeping, we are both imaging God as our creator, who makes all things and provides all things, and especially we're imaging him as our redeemer. And so on the first day we wake up in Christ as a new creature, born again, faith in him, what happens? We rest on his finished work. Yes, this is it. This makes so much sense, doesn't it? We don't have to add anything to his work. He's finished it just like creation. We didn't add anything to that. He did it all, and then here we are. Oh, go ahead and rest. I did it all. You don't need to make anything. I did it everything. Okay, so think of that. You, in a Christian life, it makes sense that you rest on the work of Christ. That's what you're doing. That's what faith is. I'm resting on it. I've lain down on the table before and illustrated what faith was. We went in that chapter. What is faith, right? And my laying on the table means I am trusting in the table to hold me up. I'm not going to do it again today. I've done it once. It's enough. Once is enough. You know, if you missed that day, sorry. But the thing is you got to think about this. Faith is resting upon God's finished work. So what are we to do? That's why. It's because God's our creator and our redeemer. What are we to do? What are we not to do? So let's look at the next section. Number 8. This Sabbath is to be kept holy to the Lord when men after do preparing their hearts. So there's a preparation to this Lord's Day and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, right? So there's a prior work necessary to do this. So what are we to do? We're to prepare, to prepare to do it well. And then it says, we're not to just, do not only observe a holy rest all the day from our works, words, and thoughts about our worldly employments and recreations. So say your coworker calls you and says, hey, we need to talk about this thing. We got this meeting on Monday or Tuesday. You'd be like, we should have done that yesterday. Sorry, buddy, I can't do it today. I've got the Lord's Day today. You know, that's actually kind of what we should be doing, actually. I mean, because we need to be prepared enough to be able to rest all that day from our work so we can actually rest. You know, so typically the way it works is we work all week. We kind of slack off in our work some, and then we have all this extra stuff we got to do, and we have maybe too much to do. And so now we're just like completely frazzled, and so we're trying to get ahead on work for next week. And so our Sabbath is just eaten up in thoughts about our worldly employments and all the things that we got to do. So it's like we're resting, but it's like when you're in bed, and you're in bed, but you're like tossing and turning and not sleeping. I know we know about this. Like, I mean, like, so how can I get an amen? Like, you got pain that's keeping you from sleeping and resting, right? And it's, how are you going to sleep? Because you got all this nagging back injuries or knee injuries or something. Shoulder hurts, neck hurts. You got too much on your mind and you just can't rest. You know, that's the situation. So we have to truly prepare to rest. So we got to prepare our bodies and our sleep schedule to work right, our rest schedule, or it's not going to go well. It's like anything else. We got to work on it. We got to prepare for it. The Sabbath is just like that. Or the Lord's Day is just like that. And so it just doesn't happen. Like a lot of things just don't happen. We have to actually try to prepare for them, right? So that's the second. That's the first point. There is, what do we do? First, we prepare. Then what are we to do? We're to be in the whole public and private exercises of worship. In his worship, and so in the duties of necessity and mercy. So Hannah here, nurse, working in a hospital, those jobs do not stop. You know, so if you're scheduled for Sunday, you have to go in, because the patients have to have that care in order for their lives to be preserved. That's one example. Firefighters have to work on Sunday. Policemen have to work on Sunday. These things, people still keep breaking the laws, and if we stop having police, it's going to be chaos. If people start, can fires happen, disasters happen, people get hurt. We have to have those kind of services going on. Do we have to have NFL football? I don't think so. I don't think that's a necessity. You know, and in fact, it probably doesn't add value to our life to be hyper engaged in NFL football. Probably actually destroys us. I can remember days, especially when I was younger, when my team lost and it was crushing. You know, or my team won, it was too exciting. You know, so there's situations where it doesn't actually. And if I'm devoted to, like, I got to prepare for the game, the party, and everything else, and the tailgating, and everything else, it really does bleed into the next week, and I lose my Sabbath. And what I have to do on this day is to remember and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. Like, how am I going to do that if I don't put my mind and my heart and soul into it and all my strength into it? That's what I'm called to do, is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, and my neighbor as myself, right? So I've got to do that. I have to prepare for it. Actually, I have to do it and engage in it. And if I let other things eat that up, you know, unnecessarily, I'm going to be hurt from it. And you're going to be hurt from it. And so my sin and your sin, my neglect of this, is going to hurt everyone. You know, and I think that's something we need to think about, not just ourselves, but our whole family, our neighborhood, our jobs, anything that we are called to do will be negatively impacted by our neglect of this. And so, you know, when you think about this, is there a biblical case for having the Lord's Day or one day in seven? I actually read in college, you know, in my study Bible, I believe it was a John MacArthur study Bible, where he said, well, this fourth commandment, nullified. Don't need to worry about it anymore because, hey, look, that was fulfilled, and now we don't have to think about it anymore. Now, that may confuse you guys. He is a very respected scholar. This is a nice Bible, you know, and everything like that. Great notes in it, but I believe that's the wrong view. I think this view, being because it's creation and redemption oriented, and the redemption is actually still to come, the redemption of our bodies. Like, we're spiritually, we're justified, we're adopted into His household, but we will die until the Lord's return, and our redemption is not fully accomplished because we have not been resurrected bodily. Christ is the first fruits. So what we're waiting for is here, and it's still to come. So the Sabbath rest remains. And that's what Hebrews 4 teaches us. If you go back, that's something I would recommend today, is read Hebrews 4, chapter 4 today. Write that down or put that in your phone, a reminder to do that, because it helps us understand what we're looking forward to is still to come. The rest remains for His people. And so Hebrews 4. Also, what do you do on the Sabbath? I'd recommend a good book, The Existence and Attributes of God, or any other book like this. It's a book that's about God, and it's full of Scripture to help you engage in meditation upon the Lord. Those kind of things. You've fallen off on your Bible reading plan. Read the Bible. But this is all after. This is assuming corporate worship has been engaged in. We've been worshiping together. We've been meeting together as a people of God and fellowshipping together. And then maybe a good idea would be to have dinner at your home, you know, and invite some people over, or try to gather with other people to encourage them in the keeping of the day as well. Those are just some things I would recommend as helpful practices to better keep the day and to refrain from things that are unnecessary to do, especially the gathering up of your bread or your manna, right? Just that, take care of that ahead of time. That's the principle, right? And make sure that you can rest wholly and prepare for it. So any questions? Well, before we get to the questions, let me get to the scriptural proofs for it real quick here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 real fast. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. All right, who's got it?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
Ah, thank you, yes. The idea there is they're gathered on the first day of the week, and that's when the gatherings or the offerings will come, from the first day of the week. So like that's all we have. That's why we have an offering in our service each and every week. Well, you can do it online, but we have a time in our service to say, this is where we do this. This is mandated by Scripture. We gather on the first day of the week, Sunday, Lord's Day, and collect for the kingdom of God. Okay, so let's go to Revelation 1, 10. Will someone pull that one up for me? Who's got it?
1:10.
Yeah, 1:10.
On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet.
Thank you. Yeah, so this is the Lord's Day, this phrase. This is why we call it not the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day. And that's when the Lord was risen from the dead. And the only other time you see the Lord with that possessive possessive modifying a noun is here, the Lord's Day, and also where in the New Testament? Do y'all know? The Lord's blank. Yeah, right, yeah. So, yeah, it's a common thing we say. There's two things that are set apart and holy to the Lord in the New Testament. One of them is, of course, the Lord's Supper, but that would be, it's as holy to the Lord, and then also the Lord's Day. So, fascinating point there. Two times you see it, so Lord's Supper, Lord's Day. So it's a fascinating point there. Okay, so let's look at, did Jesus believe in the Sabbath? Let's go to Mark chapter 2. 23. Now, I just summarized for you this chapter 16 of Exodus, where they're gathering every day of the week but the Sabbath, right? And so here's Jesus. It says in Mark 2:23, one Sabbath. This is before the Lord's Day existed. This is Saturday, right? Sabbaton, Saturday. He was going through the grain fields. It says Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So you see a couple things he does here. He doesn't say, "Oh, wait a minute, y'all don't need to worry about the Sabbath because I've come and we don't need to think about that anymore." Now, it still has, there's an abiding, there's a rest to come. So the Sabbath is still something we should do. It's a moral law for us to keep and obey God and keep it holy. But he does say, let's not be confused about the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for God, and it is for the good of man. And so we're not slaves to these rules and these interpretations of what we must do. There's a sense in which we have to work 6 days and rest and worship the Lord on the seventh day, or the first and sixth as it is. But how those things are going to be accomplished, there will be some wisdom to need to be used there. You know, like they were saying, hey, you shouldn't be, eating. You shouldn't be providing any food for your disciples. You're going through the fields here, and they're saying that's breaking the Sabbath. But he says, look, think about what David did. Here's a scriptural example, and let's consider what the point of the Sabbath is. It's for man. Not the man for the Sabbath. And it says the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And that's, he says that it is my command as the Lord, as the Son of Man. Okay, let's go to one other passage, Isaiah 58. And then I'll take some question time before we wrap it up. But if you go to 58:13-14, it says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Yes. Great words, and I hope that is a blessing to you to hear, right? Because there is, if you delight in the Sabbath, it says, you will delight in the Lord. The Lord will be, if the Sabbath is your delight, the Lord will be your delight. And so you can think of it, he says, they're not seeking your own pleasures or talking idly, but honoring the Sabbath. And it says, and he takes a promise to them and says, hey, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That comports with what he said previously in Exodus 16, in Exodus 20, in Deuteronomy 5, on down through the ages, and then in the New Testament as well. That the seven days we should not work, but 6 days we should work, and one day rest and keep the Sabbath holy to the Lord. Okay, and that'll be a blessing to us if we call it our delight. That should be our delight, but that is so counterintuitive to our world, isn't it? To take a moment and rest. And people want to say, oh yeah, murder shouldn't be a thing. We shouldn't allow murder, right? We shouldn't allow lying. We shouldn't allow adultery. We shouldn't allow stealing. But you're going to tell me I got to rest from my job? Uh-oh, hold on. Let's just calm down here. Now that's actually the way God designed it. Okay, let's ask some questions. Let's have some observations.
I have one that's perplexing.
Okay. But
then you're like, okay, well then that now there's a different perspective from old to new. Mm-hmm. In Exodus 31, it's mentioned twice, if you don't honor the Lord's day, mm-hmm. you're going to be put to death. Mm-hmm. The Lord said, I'm going to put you to death.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the repercussions yeah. about honoring the Lord's day at that time
yes.
is so different from, you know,
okay.
we still want to honor the Lord's day, but we want to do it in...
I love it.
You know,
that's a great observation.
Like, wow, wait a minute.
Did that just change?
Huh?
Did that change?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute.
From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we still are okay. obligated to honor the Lord's Day, but he's telling you if you don't honor the mm-hmm. Lord's Day in the Old Testament, you're going to be put to death.
Wait, did the sanction expire, though? Death for disobeying?
No.
Okay, so where did it go?
We're
on to Christ.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's the we got to make the flip.
Exactly.
We got to think.
We
okay, so,
so
otherwise we're all under death sentence because none of us have kept this. Okay, like you see what I'm saying? Ah, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
So that's one function of what that law should do, because I know it's the delight, but it's a little hard for me to buy that, and I know that. And what if I just take a little time for me and what I want to do? You know, and even to think that is sin, right? And so, and then even to do that is sin. And so you know what does any last sin cost me? Death. That is the answer.
Yeah.
And who died for my sins but
yeah.
Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm putting my faith in, and that's why I have to go back and hear the law on the Lord's Day, right? And hear, oh, it is fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. Like, mm-hmm. praise the Lord. I don't have to answer for this, because on him was... the chastisement on him, he bore my iniquities, and that brought me peace with God. Not my faithful keeping of that Sabbath day command. That's a huge, huge aha moment. And how else are we going to think through that and get that? Ah, yes, the weight came off my shoulders. The burden's off me. Unless we go back to the scripture, unless we go back to the gathered worship and hear those things over and over again and rest in it. That's a huge point. Thank you for that. That's a huge, huge observation. Thank you. Other points, thoughts, questions? I love it. Please ask questions. You have time.
Well, I feel like that brings up a good point.
Yes.
I feel like culturally, when people see our family keeping the Sabbath, mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. example, and
yep.
say, well, we can't have a music lesson mm-hmm. on Sunday.
Yep.
They think that the reason that our family is doing that is because, I guess, to kind of like earn our favor with God.
Yes.
Like God's going to like strike us down. We think that God's going to strike us down if we don't keep the Sabbath, and that we're just like extra super religious
yeah.
rule-keeping people. I think what people in the culture don't understand is that we don't keep the
Huge.
Sabbath in order to find favor with God, but we keep the Sabbath because we have favor with God mm-hmm. already, because Christ has already died for our
yeah.
sins, and
yeah.
we're thankful for that.
Right.
And we want to keep his commands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I
we're
don't
trusting
think that
him.
The culture at large understands that. And I think, you know, when you look at things like don't murder, don't lie, don't steal, mm-hmm. don't lie. Lots of people lie.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. But I think, you know, there's other commandments mm-hmm. that had to do with how you treat other people. They're like, yeah,
right.
I can get behind that.
Right.
The Sabbath one, I think culturally people just don't understand.
If you're extra weird, yeah.
I think of also the proverb, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delighting ourselves in the Lord causes our desires to be in line with his desires.
Uh-huh.
And his desire is that we rest on the Sabbath and we find enjoyment of it because we are his, because
right.
we're in him, because we delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. We enjoy the obedient, the
mm-hmm.
enjoyment comes from the obedience of it in him. And,
hmm.
and you know, there's, it's easy to seek after, like, oh man, I got a whole day that if I'm not resting, I could get so much done and feel really awesome about myself. Or I could use this whole day to, you know, get better at, you know, participating in baseball tournaments or this or that. And those things are enjoyable by worldly standards, and it takes the spirit to cause us to enjoy a different pace, that rest.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to enjoy that, actually. I mean, there's no way you're going to enjoy that if you're not a believer. You delight yourself in the Lord, right? And he changes the desires of your hearts, too, to want to be a part of the church and worship and stuff like that. So you actually have a different, you're a different creature than you were or the world is, right? So you're different. When I think about that verse in Proverbs, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Like the delight seems to be just so subjective, right? Delight yourself. Like, what do I like? You know, it's like, so, but like, what, it's not that subjective. Like, it is actually objective. Delighting the Lord is delighting in the Sabbath or the Lord's day. It is like, it's very objective. It's spelled out for you. This is what God desires. And so I think that's helpful to us. It's like, if you're in a relationship, in a marriage, and it's like your wife or your husband always expects you to kind of guess what he or she wants, like that's exhausting, right? I mean, it's hard, it's difficult, it's challenging, can be rewarding, but if they just tell you, you know, it helps. And that if you say, hey, that's what I want, and you dutifully do that, there's no shame in that. That's actually pretty good. Yeah. So God tells us, you know, 10 things that he desires, that how we can delight in him, and he will give us his desires of our heart. Because the desires of our hearts change, that's true. That's because through the conforming our way of life to his free standard versus being a slave to my job, a slave to my status, a slave to my bank account. Like, I'm slaves of these things, and you know, so I'm slave to my performance or my you know, how I look. All these things I'm slave to. What the Sabbath says is that you're free from that. You know, I'm it's finished. You know, you don't have to impress anybody else. I delight in you, and my love is never going to go anywhere. You know, I've committed myself to you. I'm the Lord your God. I'm going to be with you. I will never forsake you nor abandon you. That's what he says to you. And that's what those Sabbaths says, is that God comes to meet with his people, and he's never going to go away. And he says, peace I leave with you. I'm going to be with the Father, but I send the Spirit to bring you into this peace and lead you into this peace, to commune with me. He's never going anywhere. He's promised it. You can count on that. He swore an oath by himself. There's no greater thing he could swear by his own self. And so we can count his promises to be truth. So much so that Paul in Romans 8, 29-30 says that those whom God foreknew, those he predestined, those he called, those he justified, those he glorified to be conformed to the image of his son, right? He's chosen you to be conformed to the image of his son. It's as if you're already glorified. You're already full. You're already whole because of God's word. That's what it stands upon, is his word, his promise. It's for sure. All right, that said, we're out of time. Okay, so no more questions. Yeah, I'm off the hot seat for now. I'd be happy to chat about this with you guys later and field any questions, talk through it. We're having a fellowship night this week, Tuesday night at Blue. We'd invite you to come out there. We can chat about it then or after church today, anytime like that. But let's take a moment and pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would call us to call the Sabbath, Lord's Day, a delight. We pray that you would help us to order our lives around your will, and that it would be a delight for us to do so. Some days the commands feel like duty, and we acknowledge that. And so we ask that when those days do not seem as intuitive, that we might do our duty until they become delight, that you would work in them to bring us further along with you, that we might trust you more and more. We pray that you'd help us to walk by faith and to learn this again every day, that we learn to walk according to your promises and not by sight. Lord, we ask that you would guide us into an hour of worship where we'd be refreshed and nourished and fed by you, our great Lord and Rock. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks. Go in peace.